Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, our text today is our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You may be seated. Preaching Christ is foolishness. This is for different reasons. One of those reasons is that it appears to be an oxymoron. The word Christ means the anointed one. This is someone who's a prophet, a priest, or a king, one designated by God for a certain task. And in the case of Jesus Christ, he was all three: prophet, priest, and king. This is a man who spoke for God and who is God. A man who was the one high priest of all history and the royal king of kings, higher than any emperor, president, or czar. In other words, he has all power, dignity, royal majesty, and exalted status. Yet he was crucified. Crucifixion was so vile that it was only for the very worst criminals. Only if you were seen as something less than human, then you would be crucified. So saying that he is Christ crucified is like saying he's the royal peasant, or the lowly majestic one, or the shamefully glorious king, or the ruling slave. None of these make any sense, do they? It's like saying he is God, yet subhuman. Surely, says our common sense, no true Christ would be crucified. But ours was. In fact, he is not ashamed of his crucifixion. He considers it his glory. He still bears the marks of that crucifixion even after his resurrection. He showed them to his disciples on earth. And even after his ascension and exaltation, John saw him revealed as the Lamb who had been slain. Christ could have erased the marks and put the shameful experience in the past, but he didn't. This is the foolish message that we preach. Our King is the crucified one. This kind of message is strange, and we shouldn't be surprised when people are perplexed or refuse to listen. Although we may preach and teach other things that people readily agree with, the core of our message is the cross. People want something else. Jews, Paul says, demand signs. They wanted something supernatural to convince them that Christ was, in fact, their promised Messiah. But he gave them plenty of signs while on earth. Why were they not satisfied? Because the self-centered, sinful nature wants signs at the time and in the way that it demands them. People will believe in a Savior who comes in exactly the way that we want Him to. But that's not really a Savior at all. Greeks, on the other hand, demand wisdom. In other words, many people demand a reasonable Savior. We might note here that Christ Jesus is the very wisdom of God, full of all knowledge and truth, yet that is still not enough for people either. They're only satisfied if he came in a way they approve and only taught things that they approve. Then they'll accept him. But that too is no Savior. What do we seek? What do people in our nation seek? There are many answers. Usually, it's much the same thing. The sinful nature decides what it considers important and then waits for a Savior to meet its own self-determined needs. Sometimes we want our emotions satisfied, often happiness. Sometimes entertainment is the goal. Sometimes we want prosperity. What it all boils down to is that people want to be served in the way they desire and demand. A Savior must come to them the way that they want Him to. But this is exactly the problem. Our sinful flesh wants itself to be God, to be worshipped and adored and served. The flesh doesn't think that there's anything wrong with it, so it doesn't need a Savior from sin. But entertain me, dazzle me, thrill my mind and my heart, and maybe I'll stick around and listen to what you have to say. Paul even predicted this sort of thing when he said, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." So many passions, so many preachers, so many itching ears getting scratched. But there is only one crucified Christ. You are here to listen to His message. You are here to receive the gospel that says that He was willing to be nailed to a cross, foolish as it may seem. He was willing to lay down His own life. Hear this, that He who was invulnerable allowed Himself to be stricken most awfully. He let Himself suffer agony for one reason, to suffer in your place and to buy your redemption. He let your sins crush Him on the cross. This is the worst shame of all, the heaviest burden. Although the burden of sin by itself was invisible to the human eyes that looked at Him on Golgotha, the sky bore witness by its midday pitch blackness. Some heard the anguish He suffered in His cry, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" This anointed King was punished as the worst criminal, even forsaken by God, all for you. He desired your salvation and therefore suffered it all. This Christ who has been crucified may not always please you. Sometimes the message you'll hear from this pulpit will hurt you. Sometimes He will not tell you what you want to hear or give you the emotions you want to feel. Sometimes He will give you suffering, which is your own cross to bear. But always, always He will give you what you need, just as He has ensured your eternal reward. Always He will speak to you as His beloved bride, because He loves you and does all things for your benefit, even when you don't feel like He does. True love sometimes looks ugly. After all, the greatest love looked the ugliest on Golgotha. True love will not always feel pleasant, but this is the only true love and the only true Savior, the one who was crucified. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.